This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Courtney Donahoe on Bloomberg.
Her eyes are closed, but she's lip-syncing to the music. Yes, my co-host, Courtney Donahoe. Well done, Courtney.
Theme from Mahogany.
Yes, indeed.
I'm thinking back to my youth.
You are?
Yes.
Well, all right.
Yes, my mom always loved Diana Ross.
Well, let's find out. Paul Desmond, he's the president of Lowry's Reports. He joins us now. Paul, what do you think about Diana Ross? You think a good indication of what's going to happen in the market?
That's one of my favorites.
All right. Well done.
Of course.
Coming from Lowry Research Corporation, they're based in North Palm Beach, Florida. Paul Desmond, explain a little bit about what Lowry does and how you've compiled upside and downside volume statistics. Why is that important?
Well, you know, if you look in the first chapter of almost any economic textbook in the world, you'll see a story about chapter about the law of supply and demand, and it simply says if there's more demand for a commodity, whatever that commodity is, than there is a supply of it, prices will rise and vice versa. Stocks are a commodity, and so we simply measure the amount of money trying to flow into the market versus the amount of money trying to flow out, and that gives us a fairly good guide as to whether the market is advancing or declining.
Any places where you're seeing more money flows when we're looking at sectors for equities?
Well, yeah, there's some areas that are stronger than others, and the number one area that is absolutely the strongest are the utilities. And anything to do with interest rates at this point tends to be fairly strong. But the rest of the areas are weakening each day. We've been seeing this weakening pattern going on back into April, May, and it's continued. And it indicates to us that we're at an important turning point in the market where we could move towards lower prices. Now, that's a concern for these strong areas, because if the underpinnings of the market are washing away, then it's only a matter of time before even the strongest stocks might get hit. But for the time being, there is some limited strength in the high yield areas.
Paul Desmond, if you look at volume trends, can we really say that comparing today's market with a market 10 years ago makes sense? Because hasn't volume changed?
It's changed dramatically, and it's changed in terms of the amount of volatility that's accompanying that volume. And it wasn't very long ago that we saw volume expand up to as much as 11 billion shares in a single day, and now having traced back substantially below that. But what we're seeing in the longer-term trend is that during periods of market rally, the volume is tending to dry up.
What does that indicate to you?
Well, it indicates that people are just not as enthusiastic about buying stocks as they once were. And if they won't buy, then the sellers probably aren't too far off.
Many people who come on the show say that they're investing in the dividend-paying stocks. What are you seeing with flows there?
Well, there's, when you look at the whole list, what you see is almost every day there's a few more that drop out of the picture, or I should say, where the yields are still high, but the amount of buying enthusiasm for the individual stocks is diminishing. And it's important to make that distinction, because if you're buying high-yielding stocks that are going down in price, you're going to end up with a net loss on your hands, possibly. And so what you really need to look for is that relatively small group of stocks where you have not only a high yield, but you also have strong investor demand for the stock. And that's a relatively rare commodity. Now, there are a lot of stocks. For example, one that I was looking at earlier is a company called Old Republic Insurance. It yields 8.5%, which seems very attractive. But at the same time, the stock is down about 15% in the past 4 months, and that that is not a good investment.
Paul, narrowing volume, when you see the market move up and you see a small group of stocks participate, which seems to be the case right now, does that tell you that you're going to be entering a bear or a bull market? Because what's happened to the small and mid-cap sectors?
Well, Tim, these things all depend on the longer term picture. And so what you really do is look back and you say, you know, if we trace back to 1929, the length of bull markets, we find that the average bull market lasts about 39 months. And it's interesting that right now we are 39 months away from the bottom that we made in March of 2009. That suggests that we're at least this, if it's still a bull market, it's a long in the tooth bull market. It suggests to us the weakening that we're seeing here, and then these rallies that are occurring on substantial selectivity, suggests to us that we may have already made the top, and we're in this slow, gradual process of rolling into a significant bear market. And that's why investors have to be particularly careful in this kind of market, that they don't fall asleep at the switch and let their stocks go down too far.
Looking ahead to the charts of the small, mid-cap, and large-cap stocks, which are the ones that are going to outperform?
Well, as you reach a market top, what you generally see is that the small caps are the first to roll over. The small caps are the first stocks to roll over into bear markets, followed by the mid caps, and the last ones to roll are the big caps. So at this point in time, investors really ought to be focused. If they're going to be in equities, they need to be in the big cap issues, because those are the ones that are holding up best. The more that you can be in the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones type stocks, the better you are.
Paul Desmond, let's say I run into you in North Palm Beach, Florida, or in Palm Beach, maybe at the Breakers or the Brazilian Quarter, maybe even on Worth Avenue. I see you down the street and I say, you know, Paul, we found a bag of money. We found $100,000.
It's mine.
All right, it's yours first. What would you do with it? Let's say you had at least a 3-year time horizon.
Well, I think you have to be flexible, and that's the big thing. And so, for the time being, I would say there's some very attractive big name stocks that are under strong accumulation and have high, very high yields, and some of those would be something like American Electric Power, symbol AEP, and Intergris Energy, symbol is TEG, that's got a yield of 4.6%, and it's up almost 12% over the last 4 months. Verizon is doing very nicely. It's got a yield of 4.4%, and it's up about 15% over the last 4 months. And Cincinnati Financial might be another one to look at. It's got a yield of 4.2%, and it's up about 10% over the last 4 months. So there are some opportunities still out there, but we're skating on thinner and thinner ice every day, and you have to be watchful and don't allow these stocks to decline very very far before you cut them off. At that point, I hate to say it, but the king is cash.
Well, I'm going to put those stocks that you mentioned on the Bloomberg Radio Plus iPad app. It's free. Download it today. It's going to be in the chart section so you can see the performance over the past year. I'm also going to list those stocks on Twitter. You can follow me at Courtney Dunho. You can follow Pim at Pim Fox.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Paul Desmond. He's the president of Lowry Research Corporation. They're based in North Palm Beach, Florida.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012 Bloomberg LP.